morning, everyone. We're so glad to be able to join together with you in worship this Sunday morning. This is the Lord's Day, and it's always wonderful to be able to gather together with the family of God and just worship the Lord together. And it's just a reminder of the joy and privilege of being a part of the wonderful fellowship of the saints. If you're tuning in with us this morning, would you just leave us a comment, say hi, let us know that how you're doing. If you're tuning in for the first time, just say first time, and we just want to welcome you. So we are so glad that you are tuning in for our service this morning, and we encourage you to just share the live stream right now on your social media. Just hit that share button right now. Don't delay. Hit that share button. Invite your friends, your family members to join in together with you so that they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ as well, because everybody now more than ever needs to hear the hope and comfort that can be found only in the Lord. So let's give them an opportunity this morning to be ministered to by sharing the live stream on our social networks. Be a social media evangelist. Do it right now. Spread the good news. We're so glad that you're gathering together with us this morning in online worship. And we're opening our service today with Psalm 75, verse 1. It says, "We thank you, O God. We give thanks because you are near. People everywhere tell of your wonderful deeds." And this psalm was written during a time when God's people were going through a very difficult season. They had been invaded by their enemies. Their homes and the temple, their place of worship, had been destroyed. And they had been carried away into exile. They didn't know how long they'd be there or if they'd ever be able to return home and back to life as normal. And so it was a very difficult time. And, you know, there are many parallels to what we're going through. We've been invaded. Our land has been invaded by an invisible enemy, the coronavirus. Our place of worship has been affected in that we're not able to gather as we once did. And we're in a form of exile. We're not able to go about our normal activities. We have to limit ourselves. Many of us staying home and limiting our activities and socially distancing and wearing masks. And we don't know how long this will be and when we'll be able to return to normal either. Surely not the severity of circumstances that they were facing, but certainly a difficult season for us. But in the midst of it all, the psalmist reminds us that God is near. Hallelujah. What an important truth for us to grasp in our soul. It doesn't matter what our circumstances don't prevent God's presence and help from being near to us. And then the psalmist remembers the wonderful works of God, the wonderful things that God has done. So let's remember the wonderful works that God has done for us. Let's lift our voices in praise and give him thanks that he is near to us now, regardless of what we are going through. So let's lift our hearts and voices in worship. All of us together as we welcome the Lord's presence here. You pray right where you are. Our wonderful and loving Heavenly Father, we just testify of your goodness and your faithfulness to us. Surely you have done great things in our lives, Lord God, and we give you the praise for all that you have done in each of our lives. We thank you that your presence is near to us. We thank you that we can trust in your promise to be a very present help in the time of trouble. Regardless of what is going on in the world, we fix our eyes upon you. We will find our strength in you, our comfort, our hope. It is found in your presence. We lift our hearts in worship. We fix our minds upon you because you are our hope and our help. We invite you to fill our lives and our homes with your presence right now. We surrender ourselves to you and we say, Lord, have your way in us. May each person joining us this morning encounter you in a life-changing way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're glad to have a portion of our worship team here today to lead us in worship. So would you lift your voices together with us as we worship the Lord this morning?
Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the life and the hope that we have in you. And we invite your presence right now in this place and in every home watching us. Have your way among us, Lord Jesus, as we declare that you are our Lord, our Savior, our healer, and we are your people. Hallelujah.
Multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on set me on fire.
Declare, take all, Jesus.
Take all I have in these hands and multiply. God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire. Set me on fire.
Here I am, oh God.
Here I am, God. Arms wide open.
Pouring out,
pouring out my life, gracefully broken.
Oh, my heart stands in awe.
My heart stands in awe of your name. Your mighty love stands strong to the end. You will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me. You will be with me.
Here I am, oh God.
Here I am, God. Arms wide open. My life gracefully broken.
Say, here I am, O Lord, for you alone.
Here I am.
Here I am. God, arms wide open. Pouring out my life gracefully broken.
Jesus.
All to Jesus now. All to Jesus now. Holding nothing back. Holding nothing back.
All to you, Jesus. Within me, I worship you, Jesus. You are worthy, you are holy, you are precious.
Pouring out my
everything that we need is you, Jesus. Oh Lord, we long to be in your presence. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in our homes this morning. We need you, Holy Spirit. Draw us closer to Jesus, closer to his presence, to his word, to his will and his purpose for our lives. Holy Spirit, touch us with healing this morning. Touch us with comfort, with strength. Give us a breakthrough of whatever circumstances we are facing, Lord. Meet every one of us at our point of need, Holy Spirit, Paracletos. We need you, Holy Spirit. Have your way.
Sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
you are welcome in this place, Holy Spirit.
Here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, help us.
Your presence,
help us to be doers of the word of God. Help us to surrender.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit,
welcome the Holy Spirit where you are right now.
Here.
Tell him I need you, Holy Spirit.
Baptize me afresh this morning.
Feed us one more time.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Come flood.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Let us be aware of your presence.
Your presence.
us become aware of you.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Fill us anew today, this morning.
Come find
lift your hands before the presence of the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, baptize me with a fresh anointing, with a fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit this morning. We need to be filled by you once again, Holy Spirit.
By your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit,
you are welcome.
You are welcome. You are welcome in this place, Holy Spirit.
And
draw us closer to Jesus.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
We wait on you, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Have your way.
Your presence,
we are hungry. We are thirsty for more of you, O God.
Your presence,
you are our peace, you are our hope, you are our faith, you are the strength of our lives. Oh, we fix our eyes on you, Jesus. There is nobody like you. You are holy, you are perfect in all your ways, and your kingdom is not a kingdom of this world. Jesus. Jesus, we worship at your feet. Hallelujah. We adore you, Jesus. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Just make a pause, a cella in our worship, just to enter in into the Holy of Holies. Let's allow a prophetic song to come into our hearts right now. Begin to sing to the Lord a new song that comes from your heart, that comes from your own personal place of worship with Jesus. Oh, let allow the Holy Spirit to fill your heart right now with a new song and begin to sing it right now. Just take a moment to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords from a place of intimacy and relationship. We sing a new song unto you, Jesus. There is nobody like you, oh God. We shout it out this morning. There's nothing, there's no one like you, oh Lord. You are worthy, worthy to receive the highest praise. We join the choir of angels and archangels in heaven right now to lift our voices to say, holy, 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 holy is the Lamb that was slain for our sins. Holy, holy, holy is Jesus Christ, a victorious King who has conquered sin, who has conquered death, who has conquered sickness, who has conquered every enemy that rises against the people of God. Shara mama, we proclaim victory this morning because we have a victorious King that is fighting the battle from us, and we are praying and we are worshiping from a place of victory. Jesus. Jesus has conquered. Jesus has conquered death. Jesus has conquered your sickness. Jesus has conquered this crisis. Jesus has conquered every enemy that is fighting the church of Jesus Christ. Every opposition, every oppression, every spirit of light and fear right now must bow down to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just begin to worship right now. Proclaim victory. Proclaim victory over your situation. Proclaim victory upon your health right now. Proclaim victory upon your family. Proclaim victory over this nation right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We exalt you, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, you are greater than everything that we face right now, Lord God. You are greater than this virus. You are greater than the economic problems. You are greater than the political problems. You are greater than every problem that our society is grappling with right now, Lord God. And you have already, Lord God, conquered. We exalt your name, Lord. You are worthy of the highest praises. We lift you up right now. We worship you, Lord. We declare your victory right now over the lives of your people. We declare your healing. We declare your deliverance, Lord God. We declare your peace. We declare your joy. Have your way right now, Lord God. We worship and honor you, Lord. We lift you up, O God. Hallelujah. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer, and as we do, we want to continue to remember Josie. She's making improvements, and they're weaning her off the oxygen, and she's feeling somewhat better. So we're continuing to pray for her and rejoicing in what God has done. We also want to pray for Eleanor's son has a friend, and his friend's family have gotten COVID-19. Want to pray for them. Farida also is requesting prayer for a couple of family members who have COVID-19. So let's remember these as we go before the Lord. And if you have a special need in your life, would you just lift your hand to the Lord right where you are? And that's just an expression of faith as you're reaching out to the Lord and trusting him. And we're going to pray together with you this morning. Would you just come into agreement with us as we lift our voices before the Lord? Hallelujah to your name, Lord. We just thank you this morning for the wonderful privilege of prayer, Lord God. This privilege was granted us at the highest price, the shed blood of Jesus. And we do not take for granted the access that we have to your throne, Lord God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, that we can come to you at any time with any need, with the confidence of knowing that you will hear us and that you will answer us, Lord God. Father, we are lifting before you Josie, Lord God, and we are thanking you for the good progress that she is making, Lord God. We thank you for the doctors. We thank you for the medicines they're using. But ultimately, we know that you are healer, Lord God. And we thank you for what you're doing. And we continue to trust you even now to stretch forth your hand, to touch her lungs, Lord God. Father, to restore their full function, to clear them, Lord God, and restore that freedom of breath to her, Lord God. Touch her body and restore strength and vitality to her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we're lifting up Farida's family members. We're lifting up this family friend of Eleanor's son, Lord God, and his family. We are placing them on the altar before you this morning, O God. We are praying right now in Jesus' name that in your mercy you would stretch forth your hands and that you would touch them, Lord God. Let healing virtue flow through their body. Cleanse them of this virus, Lord God. Touch their organs, Lord God. Protect and restore from any damage that has been caused. But most importantly, reveal yourself as Jehovah Rapha. Reveal yourself as the healer. And more than that, as the Savior, Lord God. Father, if any of them do not know you as Savior, use this as an opportunity to make yourself real in their lives and to draw them unto yourself, O God. Manifest yourself and be glorified, we pray. Father, we're lifting before you each and every person that has their hand upraised to you right now, indicating a need in their life. Father, we know that you are more than able, Lord God. that your power never runs out, Lord God, that your power is more than sufficient, oh God, to meet every need. And we look to you in faith right now. Where there is sickness, release your healing virtue. Where there is need of a job or finances, Lord God, open your hand and make provision, oh Lord. Father, for those that are facing situations beyond their control, situations that seem impossible, we pray that you would stretch forth your mighty hand and intervene on their behalf, Lord God. Father, we pray for those that are struggling with anxiety and depression, Lord God. Father, we pray right now that your Holy Spirit would just flow through them, Lord God, that you would bring comfort, that you would bring peace, that you would bring joy, that you would bring hope, Lord God, that you would quiet their minds, Lord God, and that their focus would be upon you, O Lord. We are placing them in your hands, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just sensing there's somebody out there with a kidney issue. And if that's you right now, you've been having kidney problems, would you just stretch your hand out to God right now and just believe him? I'm going to pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, whomever this individual is, Lord, you know them. And you love them enough to place them on my heart this morning, oh God. Father, I pray that you would just be real in their life right now, Lord God. Father, that you would minister to them. Father, that you would touch their kidneys right now in the name of Jesus. That your healing virtue would flow, Lord God, and that you would restore, Lord God, that you would heal, that you would bring back function, Lord God. Father, in Jesus' name, do what only you can do, Lord God. Father, every need that your people have right now, we place it in your mighty and able hands, and we give you praise and glory as we believe you for the answer right now. We declare the amen. We declare the so be it, because every promise of God is yes and amen to us in Christ Jesus. And so by faith, we claim it right now, and we give you all of the praise and all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So glad that you are joining us this morning, because we need the encouragement and the hope that worship and the word and the connection with the family of God brings now more than ever. And we just want to continue to keep you informed on how you can remain spiritually connected during these difficult times. We want to remind everybody that we are live streaming several times a week to be able to continue ministering to you. Of course, we live stream on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. You know that because you're watching right now. And we also live stream on Sunday evenings at 6:30. It's a time of worship and prayer from the home with Pastor Anna and Joyce, one of our worship leaders. And then on Wednesdays, we have our pastoral staff, and we bring a message from the Word, and we have a time of corporate prayer with our pastoral staff, and there's a time of worship. And so we encourage you to join us Wednesday evenings at 7:30. And then also on Thursday evenings at 7:30, Pastor Anna with some of our worship team members hosts a time of worship and being in the Word and prayer. So many times during the week, just to keep us connected with one another, but most importantly connected with God and our faith, and encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. So we encourage you to tune in as often as you are able. And remember, our live stream is available on Facebook, on YouTube, and also on our church website. And later it's uploaded to Vimeo and also to Podbean as a podcast. And this way we can maximize our reach in ministry to as many people as possible. Just like and follow our live stream anytime we go live. Just be sure to share it, and then also like our Facebook page or subscribe to our YouTube page, and that way whenever we go live, you will be automatically notified if you're online. We also want to remind you, we have children's ministry on Zoom at 11 a.m. on Sundays. We also have youth on Monday afternoons, 6:30, I believe, young adults on Tuesday. We have girls ministry on Wednesday afternoon and Thursday afternoon as well. Men's ministry is coming up the first Saturday of August, and our evangelism ministry is on Zoom, and our senior ministry and our prayer ministry, they do weekly conference calls as well. So we have tried to take almost all of our ministries online. We have life groups online. We encourage you to connect as much as possible. Those vital connections in the body of Christ Christ are more important now than they ever have been. And so we encourage you to connect through all of these means. If you need access to any of these Zoom meetings, just email us and we'll get the Zoom access information for you. And we just want you to know that we are doing our very best to continue ministering to you during these challenging times, using whatever tech tools are available to us to keep the body of Christ connected and encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. So we're continuing to fulfill our church vision to be a church not contained within walls. And of course, we always want to remind you that we miss you terribly. And we look forward in faith to the day when we will be able to gather together in person. We love you all. But in the meantime, we're here to minister to you. And of course, if you have any prayer requests, we encourage you either leave them in the comments, because Pastor Anna and I do go back through the comments after the service and pray for those needs that are reflected there. Or you can call our church office, 954-981-6405, or email us at churchoffice@nl-fl.org, and you can leave your prayer requests there, and we will be sure to place your prayer requests with a team of intercessors that will be praying for you. At this time, we're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings, and to prepare our hearts for the worship of giving, we're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 through 9. The scripture says, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What is important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. And in this passage, you know, Paul had been addressing divisions in the church at Corinth, and there were various groups who said, you know, I belong to Paul's group, or I belong to Apollos' group, or I belong to Peter's group. And they had their clique that followed their favorite minister, so to speak. And Paul instructed them that no matter which minister was instrumental in their salvation or in the blessings that came to their life, that ultimately it was God doing the blessing. And he explained to them that in the realm of planting and watering and then increase, that it was God that gave them the increase. So one person may sow, another may water, but ultimately God is the one who blesses and gives the increase. And the Greek word for increase there means to grow or to enlarge. And I want you to notice this, that this is not a creative act of God. God doesn't just, you know, speak the word and produce harvest. No, it is an act of enlargement where something that is planted is then increased or made greater by God. And so there are four principles in this passage very quickly. God does not do the planting. It's up to us to plant. So God doesn't do the sowing, we sow. And then it's God's responsibility, not man's, to increase the seeds that have been planted. Thirdly, where no seed is planted, no increase can be expected. And then fourthly, where seed is planted, God is faithful and he certainly will give the increase. Now that also applies to the worship of giving. The giving of tithes and offerings is an act of sowing. It is an act of planting our seed in the kingdom of God. So in this simple act of financial seed sowing in the kingdom, we are placing financial resources in God's hand. And when the seed is planted, then God has something that he can increase. He can enlarge. He can multiply back into our lives. So what a great opportunity to both support the work of the kingdom through this church and at the same time make an investment in our own financial futures by faith, believing that when we sow, God will give the increase. So when we give, it is an expression of gratitude for all of the blessings that God has given and is giving, and all the good things that we have received from God, and how our life has been blessed through the ministry of this church, and we sow our tithes and offerings in faith, knowing that he promises to enlarge it, to bless us as we give. And through your faithful and generous giving, we are able to continue ministering locally and spreading the gospel around the world through our missionaries. Just this week, I was able to speak with someone for almost an hour who connected with us online through an online evangelism platform that we partner with. And whenever somebody responds, it's routed to the church nearest to them within 30 miles. And so his response was routed to us. And this is the second time I've spoken to him. And this time I was almost an hour on the phone with him and able to minister Christ to him. And so, you know, It's your giving, it's your faithfulness that is in allowing these things to happen locally. And that's just one example of many contacts that we are making weekly to minister to people in our community and also to those that are in our church. And that's enabled by your faithful giving. Now, right before the service today, I worshiped the Lord with my giving. I gave my tithes and I also gave special offerings, and it was really quick and easy. I just saved the text giving number to my phone, 954-516-1522. So just put that in your phone's directory. Do it right now if you haven't already done so. And then go into your Messenger app, wherever you normally text. Go into your Messenger app, pull up that number, and then just text any amount. And you don't need any decimals or anything. If you're giving $25, you just put 2, 5, $50, 5, 0, 1 million, 1 followed by, well, you know, you get the picture anyway. Just wanted to see if you were awake. Anyhow, just hit send. If you're a first-time giver, then it will send you a link. Click on that link and just fill in the information. After that, that information is saved by Purpose Gateway, and anytime you want to give again, it will be already available for you. And so if you want to give to any other fund besides tithes and offerings, if you're giving to tithes and offerings, just text the amount. You don't have to follow it with anything. But if you're giving to the building fund, text the amount followed by the word building, or missions followed by the word missions, and that will route it to the appropriate fund. If you're not comfortable with text giving, or if you prefer doing online giving, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, nl-fl.org, click the Give tab, and your options for online giving will be spelled out there. You can give through Purpose Gateway, which is the same donor provider that we use for text giving, or you can do PayPal if that's more comfortable for you. And if you don't like electronic giving, then you're always welcome to mail your offerings into the church, as some people are doing. And so right now, wherever you are, as you give, just lift your phone before the Lord, or touch the tablet that you're using to give, or the computer, and let's declare by faith the promises of God over our lives. Lord, today I worship you by bringing the tithe and the offering in gratitude for your blessings, in obedience to your word, and in honor of your lordship, and with faith in your promises. I declare an open heavens and overflowing blessing in my life. I declare that you will rebuke the devourer on my behalf. You will cause blessings to chase me down and overtake me. You will bless me in whatever I do and wherever I go. You will replace my lack with abundance. You will command your blessings upon my finances and upon my job. And you will make me a lender and not a borrower. You will cause me to succeed and not to fail. You will supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory. And I declare that as I give, it will be given back to me in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The worship team's going to come back and sing for us, and we're glad she's out of camera shot, but we're glad to have Teresa Hodge with us this morning. You won't see her, but she's the one playing the cajon. You can hear it in the background. But as the worship team comes back to sing for us, take this opportunity to worship the Lord with your giving.
Stories of what searching for answers far and wide.
Good Father, who delights to do good towards your children, Lord God. Thank you that you love us, Lord God, with an indescribable love, Lord God, that is unlike any other love. We worship and honor you. We welcome you. We pray that you would anoint the message this morning, that you would touch our hearts and our minds, that we might be receptive to hear, and that your Holy Spirit would work in our lives to produce the purpose that you intend today. Let us leave this time of worship different than we came. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you so much, worship team. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 12 this morning. We are continuing our series, Now for Eternity, a series on the end times. And today's message is titled, Don't Be Foolish. Don't Be Foolish. You know, I read a story of a young man who applied for a job as a farmhand. And when he was being interviewed, he was asked for his qualifications. And he said, I can sleep when the wind blows. And that's basically all he said. The puzzled farmer didn't understand what he was saying, but he liked the young man, so he decided to hire him anyway. A few days later, the farmer and his wife were awakened in the night by a terrible storm, and they quickly got up and began to check things out to see if everything was secure. They found that the shutters were secured on the farmhouse, and they found that a good supply of logs had been set by the fireplace. They went and saw that the tools had been secured in the shed. The tractor had been moved into the garage. The barn had been locked. Everything was well. Everything was taken care of. And it was at that moment that the farmer grasped the meaning of the young man's words. I can sleep when the wind blows. You see, he didn't have to be troubled by the storm because he knew that he had taken all the measures he needed to be prepared in the hour of the storm. Today we're going to look at a story which Jesus told about five people who were ready and five people who fell asleep. And when the crisis moment came, the five that were not ready were left behind. Read with me, if you will, Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. The scripture says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra olive oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet him. All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. You know, at the time of Christ, marriage rituals were a lot different, a lot more elaborate than they are today. First, the bride was chosen by the father, who generally sent out one of his trusted servants to search for a bride for his son. And we see this back in the Old Testament. Abraham had done this for Isaac in Genesis 24. He sent his servant in order to find a bride for his son. And in the same way, the Heavenly Father sends out the Holy Spirit to find a bride for his son. Do you know in the New Testament, the church is described as the bride of Christ, and he is our bridegroom? And so the Spirit is the Father's agent in the world, drawing unbelievers unto himself, drawing them into relationship with Christ through faith so that they can become his bride. Now, the second part of these ancient wedding ceremonies is that the groom had to pay a bride price. Well, Jesus, being our bridegroom, paid a very high price, giving his own life for us, for his bride, for the church, the body of believers. And the third element that was very important is the consent of the bride. The bride had to agree, or the woman had to agree, to marry the bridegroom. And so also we have to choose to respond to Christ's offer. We have to choose Christ to place our faith in him. Once this was done, then the couple became betrothed. This is similar to engagement today, but a little bit more serious because it was a legally binding marriage contract, even though they did not yet live together. Why? Because at this point, the bridegroom would go away, generally for about a year, to prepare a place for his bride. And when the right time arrived, he would set off for his bride's house in order to have the wedding ceremony and to bring his bride home with him. And this is what Jesus has done. He has gone away. He came to earth. He received a bride, but then he's gone away to prepare a place for us. And one day he is coming back to take us unto himself, and we will be together with him in his eternal dwelling place that he has prepared for us. And this symbolizes an event in the Bible that's called the rapture. The rapture, we've talked about it before, is when Jesus comes back in the air, and there's the shout of the archangel and the trump of God, and then the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive on earth at the time, we will be changed in an instant to a glorified body, and we will be taken up into heaven with him, and then we will enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is a 7-year celebration. While we are in heaven enjoying that marriage supper for 7 years, on earth is going to be a terribly different picture. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation, a terrible time of suffering and judgment on the earth. We don't want to be here for that. I don't want you to be there for that. I want you to be a part of the marriage supper. I want you to be ready when Jesus comes. But in ancient times, there would be a great procession on the day of the wedding ceremony or the marriage. And to be in the procession without a lamp basically meant that you were a wedding crasher, and you would be locked out when the groom reached the wedding feast. And that represents, as we mentioned, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the wedding feast. And the heavenly celebration, this is a heavenly celebration that follows the rapture of the church. And so this is the background to the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, or in the King James, it's called the 10 virgins. So as we consider this parable, we need to see the contrast between the two groups, the 5 virgins. And in ancient times, the word that's used here in Greek speaks of a young unmarried woman, and because sexual purity was very important back then, they would be virgins. And so 5 virgins in contrast to the other 5 who were foolish. And so what we want to see is that this is not a contrast between the church and the unbelieving world. Rather, all 10 claim to be waiting and ready for the Lord's return. So all 10 of them claim to be Christians. So all 10 of them looked alike. They each had a lamp. They were dressed in the garment of a bridesmaid. And each claimed to have been invited to the wedding feast. And they all acted like one another. They all had the same purpose. None suspected that there was anything wrong with any of the others. And this is a picture of the visible church in the world today and all of its members. This is a picture of all people on earth who claim to be Christians. And outwardly, they may look very similar. They all claim to have placed their faith in Christ. They all claim to be followers of Jesus. They all claim to be going to heaven. They all claim to be outwardly looking for and working for God. Yet Jesus tells us that 5 out of the 10 were lost. Well, if my math is right, that's 50%. 50% of those who claimed to be saved were lost. Now, could that percentage really be that high for those who claim to be Christians in the world today? that 50% of them would not be ready when Christ returns? That's something to think of. Now, these two groups reveal several important principles about being ready for the return of Jesus. First, I want us to see the similarity. Outwardly, all 10 virgins appeared pretty much the same. They all had the same reputation. Notice it wasn't 5 virgins and 5 prostitutes. It was 10 virgins. And the word virgin symbolizes moral purity and upright character. Now, if moral uprightness and purity alone determined whether or not a person was ready to go to heaven, then all 10 would have entered into the marriage supper. Because they were all good people, all moral people, so to speak. But nonetheless, when the door was shut, 5 of them were locked out. Or, in effect, they would be considered lost. Good character, moral purity, is important, and it should be the fruit of our relationship with Christ. If we are truly living in relationship with Christ, walking in faith and surrender to Him, then good character and moral purity will be the fruit of that relationship. But moral purity and good character alone are not enough to save us. That's why the Bible tells us salvation is by grace through faith and not our works, lest any of us should boast. So moral purity and good character are important, and they should be evident in the life of a genuine believer. But that alone does not save us. The next thing I want to see, they all had the same profession or confession. All right? The lamp that they carried was the container for oil. And the lamp they carried, it's extremely visible. Everybody that looked at them and saw them carrying that lamp would know that they were on their way to a wedding feast, because that was the tradition of that day. So the emphasis here is on the outward, not the inward. They all looked like they were on their way to the wedding feast. Do you know that according to a Gallup poll, 48% of Americans claim to have been born again? Yet it certainly does not seem so by the way people are living. And it doesn't seem so by the diminishing impact of Christian values in our culture. Because really, if 50% of Americans, almost 50%, 48% of Americans were truly born again and living a Christ-honoring life, wow, that would have a major impact in our nation. So being ready means more than making a profession of faith. I'm saying, you know, I've placed my faith in Jesus. That's that outward emphasis on carrying the lamp. So being ready means more than making a profession of faith. It means more than attending church or even praying the sinner's prayer at an altar call. Sometimes we look at praying the sinner's prayer as an event, but it is not an event that just takes place on the day that we pray that prayer and then after that, you know, we are guaranteed salvation. No, that sinner's prayer is the beginning of a lifelong relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we walk every day in faith and surrender to Him, living a Christ-honoring life by the power of His Holy Spirit, then we can be confident that we are ready for His return. And at the end of this service, if you have not yet prayed that prayer to receive Jesus as your Savior, which we refer to as the sinner's prayer, we're going to give you an opportunity to do so. But please remember, that's not an end in itself. That's a beginning of a lifelong journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. So being ready means more than that outward emphasis. They're all carrying this lamp that testifies, supposedly, that they are guests of the bride, of the bridegroom, that they are there and they are welcome and invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So it's that outward profession. So being ready means more than making that outward profession to say, I'm a Jesus follower, or wearing a t-shirt that says Jesus on it, or going to church, or praying the sinner's prayer. Being ready means actively living in faithfulness to God. Being ready means actively living a Christ-honoring life, a life that is pleasing to God, a life that is obedient to His Word. So being ready is more than just calling yourself a Christian, but it's living like Christ. The next thing we see is that they all had the same intention, didn't they? They all believed the bridegroom was coming. They all went out with expectancy to meet Him. See, those that profess to be followers of Christ, they have the expectancy that they're going to go to heaven with Jesus. That when the rapture comes, they're going to go to be with Jesus. Yet Jesus is telling us 50% that are expecting to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb are not ready. See, even though the intentions of all of these bridesmaids or virgins were good, five of them were still unprepared. And many quote-unquote Christians today, they have good intentions. And some of you out there, you may not yet be a Christian, but you intend on becoming a Christian one day. You may intend on being a Christian. Well, today's the day. And those of you who have already professed Christ as your Savior, you may intend on living a Christian life, but I want to ask you, are you living like Christ? You may intend on making it to heaven, but are you walking on the narrow road that leads to life? You may intend on leading your family to Christ, but are you living an example of Christ before them? Have you shared Christ with them? You may intend on walking in holiness, but are you doing that right now? Living a life separate from the world and the ways of this world, separate from sin and dedicated unto God? You may intend on being spiritually prepared when Jesus returns, but are you ready right now? There's a well-worn adage that says, the road to hell, you finish it with me, the road to hell is paved with what? Good intentions. We can intend all we want, but until we take action today, we will not be ready. Reputation, empty profession, and good intention is not enough to make us ready for Christ's return. So we see all of those similarities, but the next thing I want us to do is I want us to see the separation. So there's a lot of similarities, but there's also a separation. They all looked alike, but they were different. There was a difference in their attitude. Jesus described the difference with the words foolish and wise. So as we look at this morning, you determine, would you be in the foolish category or the wise? Don't get mad at me. I'm not calling you foolish. That's Jesus, okay? So the word wise in Greek means to be perceptive, to have a plan, to prepare ahead of time. Foolish is translated from the Greek word moros. You might recognize it because it's the root of our English word moron. Not a very pleasant word, is it? And it means to be careless. It means to be imperceptive, to be unthinking. And it is the attitude described in those of the church of Laodicea. That careless attitude. That they thought they had it all together. And Jesus said, you don't even recognize that you are poor and you're blind and you're naked. And he says, you're lukewarm. Jesus. See, he's talking to Christians. He says, you're not hot, you're not cold. But you're lukewarm. You're somewhere in the middle, careless, complacent, and lax. And he says, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. He's not pleased with that. Now, I know that doesn't describe anybody that's listening to us today. But Jesus is telling us it describes about 50% of the church. Whoo! Wow. You see, these five foolish virgins, they did not perceive their true spiritual condition or their need, just like the church of Laodicea. And the difference in attitude led to them being shut out. The difference in attitude led to a difference in their actions. The wise group takes sufficient oil. They are thinking. They are preparing ahead. They are taking action. But the other group, they're careless. They're imperceptive. They don't take action. Now, since the procession is at night, and the lamps only have a small oil reservoir, they have to be refilled periodically. And these wise virgins, they know that. They're thinking ahead. And so they prepare by bringing extra oil. And this pictures readiness for future needs, which requires forethought and planning and action. The foolish virgins, however, they haven't taken any action. They haven't prepared. They haven't thought ahead. They might appear wise because they have the lamp. But you look a little deeper and you see they haven't carried the extra oil. They haven't thought ahead. They haven't taken action. So they carry out God's instruction with the least amount of effort. That's who this describes. People who carry out God's instructions with the least amount of effort and think that they can get away with it. So the foolish are not spiritually concerned about their future, but the wise are. Even though they have to carry the extra weight of the oil container, they want to be ready. And so many people, they want the easy way, the easy path of Christianity, to see, you know, the minimum that they have to do in order to be a Christian, you know. But earlier in this, in his teachings, Jesus spoke about two roads, didn't he? One that was narrow and one that was hard that led to life, and one that was wide and that was easy, but that led to destruction. So the easy route is not going to make you ready when Jesus comes. But they took the easy route because they didn't want to carry. They didn't want to have to go get oil and carry the extra weight of that oil with them all night. They didn't want it, so they took the easy route. But the extra preparation of the wise makes sure that we have hope and faith, so that even though the bridegroom may delay his coming, we will be ready when he comes, and we will enter in with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But the foolish bridesmaids, they didn't have extra oil. So when the bridegroom delayed his coming, they weren't ready. They ran out of oil. And guess what? Lamps with no oil are no use. Now, oil in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit. It's one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. And the five foolish bridesmaids were without the Spirit in their lives. It's not that they never had oil. At one time, they had the Spirit. But it's that they ran out because they didn't prepare. They didn't carry extra. They started out right. They were saved. They were at one time filled with the Holy Spirit. But with the passing of time, they didn't keep coming back to refill. And so with the passing of time, they became empty vessels, empty of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's important to note that oil was available to all 10 because somewhere they bought it. But only five bothered to bring extra oil for their lamps. The foolish version still had the lamp. They still had the outward appearance of Christianity, but their oil had run out and the flame had died. That flame represents being the light of the world. It represents our witness, our testimony to the world. So what happened here when their oil ran out? They lacked perseverance in their spiritual life. Some people start out real well. They start out on fire for God. You know, they're wanting to tell everybody about Jesus. They're volunteering for all the ministries in the church. They're reading their Bible every day. They start out really good. But over time, you see people fall back. You see people grow lukewarm. You see people fall by the wayside. They haven't cast off their faith in Jesus. They would still tell you that they're a Christian. But their lamp is empty and their light has gone out. They lacked spiritual perseverance. With the passing of time, the bridegroom delays his return, and so these five foolish virgins ran out of oil. And you know what? Time can wear away at you spiritually if you don't care for your spiritual life. I wonder how many people in church today have the outward appearance of being a Christian. They keep the outward forms of going to church, carrying a Bible, saying praise the Lord, typing little praying hands when they're commenting on Facebook. They have the outward forms of being a Christian. But the oil of the Spirit's anointing has run dry in their life. And the fire of their passion has gone out. The light of their witness has faded because they've not been careful to keep putting fuel on the Spirit's work in their life. And I read a research article, and it says there are 20% of people who claim to be Christians never pray. In this research, that they did this wide research, and 20% of people who profess to be a Christian, they're carrying the lamp, but it's empty because they never pray. 25% said they never read their Bibles. Folks, these are people who say they're Christians. It goes on to say 30% never even attend church. 60% only go to one service a week. 80% have never gone to a prayer meeting. 80%. And 95% of those who claim to be Christians said that they have never led anyone to Jesus. I don't know about you, but that sounds to me like the foolish virgins. They have the profession of faith. They have that outward profession. They're carrying the lamp, but it's empty. There's no oil because they're not praying. They're not reading the Bible. There's no light. There's no witness. There's no ministry flowing from them. And you see how high the percentages are from what I've just read. If Jesus were among us today, who among us would he call foolish? And who would he call wise? If Jesus were to come back today, which group would you find yourself in? The five wise that were welcomed into the marriage supper of the Lamb? Or the five foolish who found the door shut? You see, they may all look similar on the outside, but Jesus is saying there will be a separation when he returns. Thirdly, there comes the shout. In verse 6 it says, "And at midnight there was a cry made," or a shout made, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." 1 Thessalonians 4 speaks of when Jesus comes back in the rapture, how that there will be a shout of the archangel and the trump of God announcing the Lord's return. But I want us to look at the time of the shout, because Jesus tells us in Matthew 25 it was at midnight. It was at midnight. The bridegroom delayed his coming. We're not told why, but he arrived later than they expected. And it was about midnight. And the shout came announcing his arrival. Because that's how how it was done in ancient times. There would be a choir that would go ahead of the wedding procession and would announce, "The bridegroom is here! The bridegroom is here!" That's the shout they're referring to. So these bridesmaids, they knew the season that the bridegroom would arrive. They knew the wedding was taking place that day. But they didn't know the exact hour of his arrival. And isn't that what the Bible tells us? We will know the season of Christ's return. But no man knows the day or the hour. And Jesus said he would return in an hour when you think not. It will be sudden. It will be unexpected, like a thief in the night. And Paul warns even believers to be careful that we are not caught unawares or unprepared. Because Paul says, we know better. We know better. But we'll find that many people will be spiritually fast asleep, unprepared, and will be caught unawares. And then I want to say, we've seen the time of the shout in an hour when many people think not. But I also want us to see the terror of the shout. The shout calls to panic. Not in all 10 virgins, but in the five foolish virgins who had run out of oil. Their lamps are out. And they know they can't join the procession. They know they can't enter the marriage supper without their lamp on. And so they go to the five wise virgins and they're asking to borrow oil from them. And the five wise virgins say, "We don't have enough for ourselves and for you." What I want you to see is that you can't borrow someone else's faith. You can't borrow someone else's godly lifestyle or spirituality. You can't make it in the rapture on the coattail of mommy or daddy's prayers or your pastor's prayers. You've got to be ready for yourself. And the five foolish virgins, they were not ready. They didn't have the oil of the Spirit. They didn't have their lamp burning brightly. The light of God's presence in their life was out. Their testimony to the world was extinguished. And the Bible says they were shut out of the marriage supper. You don't want to find yourself shut out. I don't want you to be shut out. Jesus doesn't want you to be shut out. That's why he gave us this story, to prepare us so that we would be ready when he returns. Fourthly, I want us to see the shame. We've seen the shout. I want us to see the shame. The door was shut on these five foolish virgins. Remember, it was pretty much the same in Noah's day. The door of the ark was open for 120 years as far as the door of God's salvation was open, because during those 120 years, Noah was preaching to them. He was preaching to them, repent, place your faith in Jesus. But at the end of 120 years, when the time of judgment came, the Bible says that God shut the door on the ark. And once it was closed forever to those that were on the outside. I can just imagine when the rain started to fall and the flood water started to rise, they were probably pounding on the side of the ark. But the door was shut. And here in this parable, Jesus talks of a day when the door will once again be shut. And the foolish virgins, they're trying to get in. They're saying, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. Do you remember previously Jesus said many will come to me in that day?
Yes.
And they will say, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy? Did I not cast out demons in your name? And he will say, depart from me. You see, these are people who claim to be Christians. Who else would be saying, didn't I prophesy? Didn't I cast out? These are people who claim to be Christians. And Jesus said, I will say to you, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. And so Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. And you see, doing the will of the Father is a lifestyle of obedience. It's a lifestyle of living a God-honoring life that is lived according to the principles of God's word, that is lived in faith and surrender to him. It's not a one-time prayer, and so, you know, I prayed once 10 years ago and repented of my sins and placed my faith in Jesus, so presto whammo, whenever Jesus comes, I'll be ready. No, this has to be lived out every single day. Every single day. So the door was shut, and the unprepared were left out. The wise virgins, those who were ready with their lamps filled and their lights burning, those who were living a spirit-filled, God-honoring life, the testimony of their life burning brightly, they went into the marriage feast with the bridegroom. You see, the saved will be taken out of this troubled world in the rapture, and we will go to be with Jesus and celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb with all of the church through the ages that have gone to be with him, gathered together for this wonderful celebration. But the lost will be shut out, and some of those that are lost will be people who were in the church, profess themselves to be Christians like these five virgins, and they will be left behind to suffer the most terrible time of tribulation that is coming upon the face of the earth. I don't want that for you. Jesus doesn't want that for you. And that's why he is giving us this parable, in order to tell us, be ready. Make sure you're living ready every moment of every day. And that's where we come to the final point, the solution. Verse 13, Jesus says, therefore. See, he's told this whole parable. Whenever you see the word therefore in scripture, look what it's there for, because it's connecting you to what has just gone before. Jesus told this whole parable about the unwise virgins, and he says, therefore, because you do not know the day, watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. So Jesus is saying, you need to be constantly watching. And watchfulness is not just sitting around staring up into the heavens, oh, Jesus is coming back. Watchfulness is an attitude of the soul. It's a spiritual alertness. It's a spiritual vigilance that lives every day with the awareness that this could be the day that Jesus comes back, and I want to be ready. I'm living every moment, every day, ready for Jesus. Watchful. You see, a watchful person may rest, because all 10 virgins fell asleep, but the five wise ones, they knew they were ready. So a watchful person, they may take a time of rest, but a watchful person never becomes complacent, never becomes spiritually comfortable, never becomes spiritually lax. They're constantly vigilant. And watchfulness is an attitude of perpetual preparedness. The watchful person has their lamp filled and their wicks trimmed and their lamp burning. So a watchful person is someone who is always filled with the Spirit, always letting the light of Christ shine brightly through our life, living a lifestyle of godliness that is a faithful witness to Christ. We are constantly sharing the gospel with the unsaved. That's what it means to live wisely or to live ready. The wise person is committed to living that way at all times because they are prepared for the long haul, not just for the short term. Jesus implies in this parable that at the time of his return, about 50% of those who claim to be Christians will not be ready, and the door will be shut, and they'll be left behind. And we saw by that research that I read earlier that the percentages, according to that research, of those who may not be ready might be a lot higher. According to the people who said they never prayed, never read the Bible, never went to church. Jesus is coming again. We know it soon by the signs that we are seeing before our eyes. By the coronavirus, one of the plagues, I believe, that Jesus said is coming in the end times. We've already had four pandemics since the year 2000. By the lawlessness that we see where everybody just wants to do their own thing. Everybody's protesting for their quote-unquote rights. There's lawlessness that is prevalent in our society today, and that's one of the signs of the end time. So many other things that we are seeing before our eyes. Even, we see the climate change, and we see the increasing intensity of weather patterns, which is one of the things that Jesus said would be a sign of the times, these intense weather events taking place. We see the signs of the times taking place. The question is, will you be ready for his return? Or will his return find you unprepared? The first and most important step to be ready is to repent and place your faith in Christ. For those who profess to be Christian, but this message has kind of tugged at your heart, and if you would be honest, you're questioning, am I really ready if Jesus were to come back today? Well, it starts. Being ready starts with repenting, not just of the sin of blatant actions that we have done that are wrong before God, but repenting of the sin of neglect of our spiritual life and our relationship with God. Repenting of the neglect of not seeking him first, not diligently living a Christ-honoring life, surrendering to him daily and making him the priority pursuit of our life. No matter who you are, God loves you. He has made a way for you to be forgiven of your sins and saved from the judgment that is coming upon this world. Through Jesus, we can be forgiven and we can be brought into right relationship with God. That's the whole reason that Jesus came from heaven to earth. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross, taking the penalty of sin that we deserved, so that now when we repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, we recognize the direction we've been headed is the wrong direction. We've been living life our way. We've been living life according to our own will. We've not been diligent to seek the Lord and to live a Christ-honoring life. We've not been walking by faith in Christ. We recognize the way we've been headed is wrong. We turn away from that. We say, God, I confess that I've been a sinner. I confess that I've been living life on my own without faith in you and without regarding you. And we ask God to forgive us. And we turn to him in faith and surrender our life to him and say, come, take complete control, Lord. I give you my life. And that's the first step to being prepared. And if you have not yet done so, or maybe you did it some time ago, years ago maybe, and you know you've drifted away and you can feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit in your heart as I was preaching and saying, you know what, maybe I'm not ready, then this is the moment to start to get ready. Pray this prayer with me. God is so gracious. He's so merciful. He's giving you an opportunity to be ready. Pray this prayer with me. And remember, this is a beginning point, and I'll talk to you a little bit more about going on from this point forward. But if you want to start, make this step to be ready, Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you gave your life on the cross for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from the life I've been living without you. I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all of the wrong that I have done. And today, I turn to you in faith. I ask you to come, live inside of me, and help me from this day forward to live for you. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed it and you meant it, then God has done exactly what you asked him to do. And this is the beginning. Jesus calls it being born again. And remember, birth is a beginning of a life. And so in this moment, you were born again. You were made spiritually alive. You were brought into relationship with God. He as your father and you as his children. And this is the beginning of a lifelong journey of learning to love him and live for him by the power of his Holy Spirit. See, he doesn't expect us to live for him in our own strength. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. But as I said, this is the beginning. I congratulate you. It's the best decision that you'll ever make. But from this point, I want to encourage you to take some steps that will help you to live ready for Christ's return. And I'm going to ask you just right now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time in a long time, type the words, "I prayed," in the comments. Just put it in the comments right now. Why? Because first of all, we want to celebrate with you and congratulate you, but we also want to send you a link. It's a link for an electronic card where you just enter your name and your email address, because we want to send you a free e-booklet. That's all we're going to send you. We're not going to bombard you for money or anything like that. We just want to send you a free e-booklet on next steps, how to grow, how to continue in the relationship with God that you started this morning. So please put that right in the comments right now. I prayed, and later today someone will send you a link, and just fill out that electronic card and we will forward to you by email this free e-booklet. But in the meantime, I just want to share with you three steps to continuing in your relationship with the Lord that you started today. First, pray every day. And prayer is not anything fancy. All you need to do is talk to God like you would to a best friend. Every morning, wake up, thank him for the good things in your life. Thank him for life itself, because everything good in our life is a gift from him, even our life itself. And then talk to him about whatever you're facing that day. Ask him to help you in making right decisions, in acting rightly, in accomplishing whatever needs to be accomplished. And if you're struggling with anything in your life that you know is not pleasing to him, maybe it's a habit that you know is not pleasing to him, or a relationship that's not pleasing to him, ask him to help you to stop that habit or break that relationship or change the type of relationship. Ask him to help you in the areas that need to be changed. So that's prayer. The second thing is, let God speak to you every day. How does God speak to you? The number one way God speaks to us is through his word. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to download the YouVersion app on your phone or your device. It's free of charge, and you can read the Bible there. And they also have a lot of different resources, different short devotional resources that will help you to begin to get into God's word and hear what God is speaking to you. But download the YouVersion app. Start reading in 1 John. It's a book in the New Testament, and it's only 5 chapters long, and it tells us who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Every day, just take 10 or 15 minutes to read a few verses, 5 or 6 verses. Don't rush through it. Before you start reading, pray. Ask God, help me to understand what you're saying and how it applies to my life. And just read 5 or 6 verses, then I encourage you to take a notebook or journal and write down the impressions of what you think that scripture is saying and how it applies to your life. And then thirdly, we encourage you to get connected to a local church, because the local church is the means that God has provided for us to continue to be taught to grow in our relationship with the Lord. And so right now, we're not meeting in person due to COVID-19, but we encourage you to keep tuning in online so that you can continue to hear the Word of God and grow in your knowledge and understanding of Him. And once things open back up, then we encourage you to join us in person. If you're outside of the South Florida area, then we would encourage you to find a local Assembly of God church that is near to you wherever you live and get connected there so that you can grow not only through the preaching and teaching, but the wonderful relationships that we make that encourage us and pray for us and support us and help us in our journey. And of course, sharing life with other believers always makes life so much more joyful and so much better. So we encourage you to get connected to a local Assembly of God church where you are. So do those three things and be sure to type "I prayed" in the comment. For those of us who've already placed our faith in Christ, I want to ask you, are you living prepared? Are you filled with the oil of the Spirit through prayer, through reading the Word, through worshiping every day, through seeking the kingdom of God first? Are you filled with the oil of the Spirit? And is the light of your testimony, the testimony of Christ living in you, is it shining brightly? Are you living a life that honors Christ? And are you telling people about Jesus? We need to be vigilant. We need to be fervent so that we do not become careless like the five foolish virgins who ran out of oil, had an empty lamp, and the wick was not burning. Let's recommit ourselves this morning, if we're a believer, to live a Spirit-filled life every day by seeking God, by praying, by being in worship, by being in His Word, so that the light of our life, Christ in us, can shine brightly as a witness to the Lord. Would you recommit yourself to that right now, right where you are? You speak to God from your own heart. You pray as I pray over us. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now. And Father, we stand in awe of your wonderful love and your mercy and your grace to us. The reason that you warn us so many times in Scripture about being ready is because you don't want anybody to be lost. You don't want anybody to be left behind. Thank you for loving us so much, Lord God, that you remind us repeatedly to watch, to be vigilant, to be prepared. Father, as we stand before you today as believers, Lord, we are humbled by the fact that you said that about 50% of those who profess to be Christians would be left behind. We don't want anybody to be left behind, and we don't want to be in that number that's left behind, Lord God. So we pray for your church today. We pray that you would touch lives, that you would draw those that may be lukewarm or complacent, that you would stir them up by the power of the Holy Spirit and draw them to a recommitment of their life, that they might once again be vigilant and fervent for you, Lord God. And Father, for all of us as we stand before you this morning, we recommit ourselves to daily living a Spirit-filled life, to daily filling the reservoir of our life with the oil of your Holy Spirit through prayer, through worship, through reading your Word, through seeking first your kingdom, and through surrendering our life to you every single day, that our lives may be a living sacrifice, well-pleasing and honoring to you, Lord God. Father, we know that we can't do any of this ourselves. Our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And so we make this commitment to you, but at the same time, we ask you for the help of the Holy Spirit to live out this commitment day unto day. Prompt us when we forget to pray or read your Word. Convict our heart when we are about to do something or take an action or make a decision that is displeasing to you. Work in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, each and every day to keep us close to you and committed in the way that we live. We pray this over your people today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that the service was a blessing to you. We encourage you to use wisdom, stay safe, socially distance, wear your mask, be healthy. We love you. Have a wonderful Sunday, and God bless you.